Hello, and welcome to Deliverability Defined. My name is Alyssa.
I'm Melissa.
Thanks for being here. So today we are going to dive into a very specific topic. We are going to talk about Google Postmaster tools. But I guess before we hop in, let's just chat a little bit. How are you doing, Melissa?
Oh, I'm good. It's been a really busy couple of months. I feel like we went from the holidays like straight into a lot of work with all of the Yahoogle changes and trying to like help customers and education and just all of the things. We were just talking about it earlier, but I'm feeling like we're getting in a good place, which is a nice feeling.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm glad we're releasing this podcast episode to hopefully help more people at once so that they don't all need to have calls with you. We'll see.
I just want it to be helpful. That's all I want, for people to feel like they have a resource to go to, because that is a lot of information and I know it's very overwhelming sometimes.
That is so true. Yeah. Yes. I'm glad you're there for people.
I'm glad you're there for me.
Always. Well, let's see. Google Postmaster tools. This is a fun one. I think we've talked about this plenty, but the reason why we wanted to dive into it again and why it's even more important now is because with the new Yahoogle changes, it's now required that senders are using their own domain for DKIM authentication. Right out of the bat, I have all these tech jargon words. But what that means is that you can now access Google Postmaster tools with these new requirements. Before, if you were using, for example, ConvertKit's domain to send your messages, you couldn't use Google Postmaster tools. So Melissa and I didn't talk about it that widely because I would say most ConvertKit customers wouldn't even be able to see any data within Google Postmaster tools. So pointing you there wasn't really helpful. But now everyone should have a verified sending domain in place in ConvertKit. And that means you should be seeing data populate in Google Postmaster tools. And we'll get more into why you might not see data there. Mm-hmm. But that's why we're going to cover it today, because now you can use it. And it's just such an important tool for you to be using.
Yeah, it's a really great tool.
Tell us more about what are all the things Google Postmaster tools can show you, and we'll get into each of them.
Perfect. Okay. So this tool is super helpful just to get some more insight. If you've listened to our other like previous episodes, we've talked about how there's no like place you can go to find out more about your domain reputation. There's not like a score that just exists somewhere out there on the internet to help you understand what your domain reputation or sender reputation is like. So that's a question that I've been asked a lot as a deliverability person, is like, how do I know where I stand with mailbox providers? And there's just not a one size fits all tool for that. But there is, there's a helpful drop down in Google Postmaster tools that's under domain reputation, where Gmail will actually tell you what they think of your domain reputation. So they will tell you, we think it's high, we think it's medium, low, or bad, which is super helpful. And from there, even though it doesn't give you much else to go off of, like in that section of data, you're able to kind of start digging in more. So we always talk about how like, in deliverability, there's not always just like an immediate answer. Oftentimes you have to go into your account, dig in, look into like more data points, and go from there to figure out like, what things can I do to improve my domain reputation? The next thing is your IP reputation. So this is the part where you're kind of leaning on ConvertKit for that healthy IP reputation. Since if you're sending mail through ConvertKit, ConvertKit customer, you're using our IPs to send your mail. So you can actually see under that dropdown that what that IP reputation looks like. The next section is the spam complaint rate. This is a really important piece of the puzzle for Google Postmaster tools. Essentially, this is what I was talking about a little earlier when I was talking about the feedback loop. So in ConvertKit specifically, if you look at your complained subscriber list, those are people who marked your email as spam. And you might notice that there are no Gmail accounts that show up there. And that's because Gmail doesn't send out that user reported spam like other mailbox providers do. So Gmail has that information that they keep, but you have to have Google Postmaster set up to access it. So they will actually show you a percentage based on how many people have marked your email as spam over a certain period of time. And their recommendation, we can talk about this more, but basically just think below 0.1%, but especially below 0.3% is kind of where you want to stay when it comes to a spam complaint rate. That's what Gmail recommends. And then the authentication results. Alyssa, I think there's also a couple other ones that might be in that drop down. Do you want to kind of go over a couple of those?
Yeah, the others I don't really see our listeners using as much, but authentication results specifically, that'll tell you if the emails being sent from your domain are passing SPF, DKIM, and DMARC at Google. And that can be helpful if you see, like, suddenly one day the DMARC failure rate is way off the charts. That might tell you that somewhere the emails you're sending are not being authenticated properly, or it might tell you a spammer was trying to use your domain to send mail and they couldn't get through. So either way, that can be an interesting one to look at. And there are a couple other screens, but I think the ones you talked about, Melissa, are going to be the most useful. And if you were listening to Melissa's amazing overview and like trying to take notes, there was like so much good stuff in there. We'll continue to dive more into each of those. So no worries. Like we'll get into all the spam complaint rate stuff. But that was super helpful. Thank you. One thing I wanted to mention is that not everyone is going to see data in Google Postmaster tools. Mm-hmm. Most people will. But here are some requirements. So like I mentioned at the top of the episode, you have to be signing DKIM using your own domain to see the Google Postmaster tools data populate. In layman's terms or in ConvertKit terms, that means you need to have a verified sending domain. You can't be sending with ConvertKit's domain in the background and then see Google Postmaster tools data populate related to that ConvertKit mail. So that's one thing, but everyone should have that set up now. And then second thing is you do need to send enough volume for Gmail to show you data. They haven't told anyone exactly what the volume requirements are, but they have a help article that mentioned hundreds a day. I don't think it has to be like hundreds of email every single day. For some of the customers, Melissa and I have been looking into their Google Postmaster tools. I don't think they send hundreds of emails a day and we still see data there. Yeah. So just sending hundreds of emails a day, a few times a week, probably, or at least once a week, if I had to guess, is probably their requirement.
And that could also be like your incentive email or something. Yep. So it's not just like broadcast. We also have seen like if you've just very recently added your verified sending domain in ConvertKit, it takes a bit of time for some of that data to populate. So don't panic if you are sending enough volume but aren't seeing like a lot of historical data right away if you just recently set up a verified sending domain.
Yes, such a good point. It doesn't usually go back and populate, you know, past data from what I've seen. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of starting on that first day that you signed up.
Exactly.
All righty. So let's go into an even deeper dive into all those data points you mentioned, Melissa. We'll start with domain reputation. So like Melissa mentioned, whenever you're looking at the domain reputation section of Google Postmaster tools, that's referring to your domain's reputation. So the reputation shown there is made up of your own actions, basically. Other, for example, ConvertKit customers are not going to have any influence over that domain reputation. It is just your own mail that is determining that reputation. And it can be bad, low, medium, or high. Those are the exact terminology that Gmail use. So if you hear one of us say, uh-oh, you have a bad domain reputation. Mm-hmm. We're not trying to be judgmental. That's like truly what Gmail calls it.
I know. I always feel really bad saying that to customers. Like if you're listening to this and you end up having, you know, a call with me or something and I'm like, your reputation's bad. I'm not saying that from like a judgmental point of view. I am literally listing what Gmail says in your Google Postmaster tool. So I always feel bad.
It's really interesting. This is like a super nerdy thing that probably no one will care about. But if you're in Google Postmaster tools, I'm in it right now, and you are looking at domain reputation, I think that's where it is. At least at one point, I'm not seeing it right now. There was like in the URL bar, you can see like that they had actually ugly as an option. It was like ugly, bad, low, medium, high, but that's not listed on like the actual UI, what you're looking at.
Oh, that's
funny. You can like see it in the code. Like that's
Okay.
At one point, oh, I see it here. It's under IP reputation.
Oh, okay. I'm clicking on your, one to see. That's so funny.
I know. If you look at the URL, it says IP reputation dash ugly dash bad.
Dash bad. That's hilarious.
Yeah. So I haven't seen it say ugly for anyone, but that would be really bad if we were telling customers that they were ugly. So yeah, I'm glad that's not. Yeah. Anyways, you really want to aim for a high domain reputation. That is where we see the most solid inbox placement at Gmail when your domain reputation is high. So that is the goal. And it's very achievable. And from what we've seen, the spam filtering can really start to happen at medium. I was helping someone who ran into this weekend. Their domain reputation dropped from high to medium, and they did start to get emails from some people saying, hey, you're emailing to my spam folder for the first time ever. That's never happened. What's going on? And it was just dropping from high to medium that caused it, which we'll get more into. And then once we see someone hit low or bad, almost all of their emails or all of them are going to the spam folder. So you definitely don't want to get into that territory. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what do you do if you log into Google Postmaster Tools, you're seeing that low or bad domain reputation? That kind of takes us to the next step. And what you want to do next is go look at the spam rates in Google Postmaster Tools. Do you want to tell us about that?
Sure. So typically, we'll see a correlation. This is one thing I kind of wanted to like preface, that this is not an exact science. So we can give you generalities. We can tell you like trends that we've seen with people, but there are always going to be situations that don't perfectly align with like some of the things we say. So for example, oftentimes, if I see that someone has a low or bad reputation with Gmail, I can go click on their spam complaint reports and see that they've had anywhere from 0.1% complaint rate up to sometimes even like I've seen 0.6% lately. Yeah. So usually those like consistent reports will align with like a bad or low domain reputation. Did you have something to say about the 0.6%?
Just that, I feel like I've actually seen some a little higher than that lately. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this is not good.
It's not good.
Something's going on.
And I have some examples too that might be helpful that we can kind of talk through. But again, like I said earlier, it's important to keep your spam rate below 0.1%. This is the threshold where Gmail will start sending some messages to spam. And potentially from there, decrease your domain reputation. At 0.3% and above, spam filtering will start to happen, and the domain damage will also start to happen and be more impactful and harder to recover from. So we can talk about like, what do you do if you're seeing spam rates of 0.1% or above? So the first thing that I usually check on is forms. And seeing like what the list bombing situation is. So list bombing is typically a behavior where a bot adds a bunch of email addresses to a form. They're not actually people who signed up to be on your list. There's usually like a pattern of behavior you can see to like identify if this might be happening to you. Oftentimes, when you look at your complained subscribers, people who marked the email as spam, you can actually see that oftentimes they mark the very first email as spam, which is not typical subscriber behavior. So that's kind of a helpful place to start, is to look at your forms and seeing kind of what your list collection looks like from that regard. Do you have anything else to add to that?
One thing top of mind, because I just had this conversation with a customer, is contextualizing sort of those complaint rate thresholds. I was telling a customer, you know, they were exceeding that 0.3% complaint rate, and that's why their domain reputation was being damaged. And their, you know, initial reaction was like, that's such a small rate. Mm-hmm. How can anyone stay below that rate? Which I totally get just looking at it, you know, 0.3% feels really small. But one way to think about that, for a 0.1% complaint rate, that's one subscriber out of every 1,000 subscribers complaining about your message. I know for me, that makes it feel more real. I'm like, oh, okay, it makes sense. So if one out of every 1,000 is complaining, that's sort of high. If it was one out of 2,000, for example, that would be totally fine.
Right.
And then if it gets to be more than that, like 2 out of 1,000, 3 out of 1,000.
Right.
And so on, that's when it starts to get really elevated. So that, I don't know, that just kind of helps me to see it that way.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And the overall ConvertKit complaint rate for like all of our customers, I think it's You might have pulled it more recently, but I think it was less than like 0.002 or something. Mm-hmm. So that's another, hopefully, I say that to be encouraging that it is possible to have a much lower complaint rate. And if it's 0.1% or higher, it's usually an indicator that something's not right and there is something you can do to fix it. So,
well, we've talked about this before too, that like looking at that as like it's bad in the sense that it's hurting a sender's domain reputation, but also it's a helpful metric because Gmail has to use something to associate issues to like these, this like feedback loop essentially to help people know if there's a problem. So it sucks to have your domain reputation affected by this, but also sometimes there's things that happen that we don't even realize at the time can be affecting that complaint rate. So I have a good example of this. I was helping a customer the other day who we were trying to figure out, it didn't look like a list bombing situation. And we were like, what is going on here? And they were like, oh, I know what's going on. We have a form where we've asked people to add a friend's email address to send them something for free. But that unfortunately involves, even though the concept was supposed to be a positive one and a good thing, that would be like if I went to a form and added Alyssa's email address without her knowing. And so that takes the whole permission situation to like a different level. You know, Alyssa's not giving permission to receive emails from this
sender.
And so, you know, and again, like the intention wasn't bad, but the cause of that choice started to significantly impact their domain reputation because they were seeing an increase in spam complaints. So that's just an example of something that like maybe not be top of mind when you're thinking about, I just want to get this information in front of people and I'm doing it from like, you know, a positive and like good intention place. But yeah, don't do that.
Yeah. Another thing I want to circle back to that you mentioned earlier was the fact that Gmail doesn't operate a typical complaint rate feedback loop,
right?
Which that might have just sounded like it made no sense. So let me explain what I mean. A lot of other mailbox providers like Yahoo or Microsoft, anytime you email someone at those mailbox providers and they mark a message as spam, there's this feedback loop that happens where they will let your email provider like ConvertKit know. They'll say, hey, this person, Bob at Microsoft.com, at Hotmail.com, marked this message as spam. And then ConvertKit will take that subscriber, will mark them as complained, and will make sure they are taken off your list and can no longer receive emails. Mm-hmm. And you can go find them in the complained subscriber section. Gmail does not do that. They will not tell anyone who marks a message as spam. So if you go right now into your email provider, whether it's ConvertKit or not, and you look through your complained subscribers, you won't see a Gmail subscriber in there, which is difficult because that means there's probably a lot of people complaining about your emails that you can't see, you don't know what's happening. And so you might be like, well, my complaint rate's great. What are you talking about? But Google Postmaster Tools is Gmail's way to tell you that information, which is helpful. So this is sort of giving you like a missing puzzle piece that you might not have had yet. And it's really important. Gmail is using this information to decide if your messages should go to the inbox or spam.
Right.
And before you had a verified sending domain in place, if you didn't have one of those before, it didn't hurt you as much because you were using ConvertKit's domain in the background to send your messages. If you had higher complaint rates, you might not have even seen the effects of it that much. But now that you've added a verified sending domain, which is now required by Gmail and Yahoo, we didn't do this to you, I promise. Yeah. it's the new requirements to get to the inbox. Now it will impact you much more if your complaint rates get high with Gmail specifically. So I encourage all people to have like their eyes on this Google Postmaster Tools dashboard every day.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, keep a close eye on it. If you start to see it get to 0.1% or higher, take a good look. Like Melissa said, go analyze people who are complaining that you can see. Mm-hmm. What do they have in common? Are you sending them way too many emails?
This is one that I really feel like this has been something that in the past, pre-verified sending domain didn't affect, if they were using ConvertKit's domain, didn't affect them quite as much. I have been in people's accounts like crazy lately, you know, just trying to help people like navigate all of these new changes. And one thing I've noticed is that, you know, we say all the time, like, clean your list. Don't send to cold subscribers. That's always been like an important best practice in email. But one thing I've noticed is that sometimes there are customers who send emails for webinars and they will have someone on their list for only like 2 weeks and that person will receive 5 emails in 1 day. And so even though that subscriber is not considered cold technically, they're still receiving a lot of mail very quickly and in a short period of time, and they're not engaging with all of those emails. So it's really important to pay attention to like trends like that. And you're not always going to have them defined as a cold subscriber if they haven't been on your list long enough. So that's just kind of like an important thing to think about as you're looking through what things can I do to improve the positive signals that I receive from my audience. So positive signals from your audience are just, they're huge, especially now that verified domains are part of the picture for everyone. And then I mentioned already cleaning up your list, but frequency and clean lists are two things that have been really beneficial for people who are seeing spam complaints. You know, for cold subscribers, sometimes if someone's on your list for a really long time and they continue to receive emails, but they're not engaging with any of them, sometimes they just get sick of it and they mark the email as spam. They decide to do that instead of like unsubscribe for whatever reason. So just cleaning out those people who aren't engaging is just the best option.
Yep, that's a good one. Another one that is just good for list health in general, if you are heavily using the ConvertKit Creator Network or a similar feature somewhere else, if you're gaining a lot of subscribers through it, I know at ConvertKit, it's a feature that's going very well for a lot of people. Some are gaining hundreds of thousands of new subscribers through the Creator Network, which is amazing. But there are steps I highly, highly recommend you take to make sure that you are getting high quality, engaged subscribers and keeping your list clean. So a couple of those I want to mention real quick. First, this is if you want to be really strict about your list health. Maybe you're seeing your complaints are up a little bit. I would set up an automation that sends an email to everyone who comes in through the Creator Network and asks them to click a button to confirm their opt-in and unsubscribes anyone who doesn't click that button within a few days. That is the most strict level. And that's for someone who's like really concerned about their current domain reputation. Mm-hmm. The like less strict version, if you have no concerns about your domain reputation right now, if it's looking good, spam complaints are looking good, then you could just send a welcome email, but pretty far up in the body, say like, did you make a mistake? Didn't mean to sign up for this. Click here to unsubscribe. Don't have it down in the footer. Put it really easy for someone to do because there are people who accidentally sign up for these things and then they have no idea why they're getting it.
Right.
And then next, I would have an automation running that checks to see who has joined through the Creator Network and hasn't opened an email or clicked an email in the first 30 days. And let them go, automatically unsubscribe them. You can do all of that through ConvertKit running in the background automatically. You don't have to be manually doing it. So those are a few things I would recommend you set up, especially if you're using Creator Network and you see any domain reputation issues happening. That's just a great way to make sure your list is staying clean.
Yeah, that's great advice.
All righty. Do you think we're ready to go on to IP reputation? That's a quick one.
Yep.
Cool. So IP reputation is a whole section in Google Postmaster Tools, really similar to domain reputation. It'll tell you if it's high, medium, low, or bad. And if you're using a shared IP address at an email provider like ConvertKit, this is actually telling you the reputation of your email provider, which is really interesting. But if you're using a dedicated IP somewhere, then it's still showing you your reputation. So it's probably going to be really similar to your domain reputation. So if anything looks wrong here and you're on a shared IP, you'll want to reach out to your email provider, see what's going on. If you're on a dedicated IP, then go back to what we just said about spam complaints. That's going to be where you want to start diving in.
Cool.
Cool. That was a lot. I realized we never even said like how to get to Google Postmaster Tools. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you can Google it, but the URL is postmaster.google.com. And you can just go in and add your domain. They will ask you to add a TXT record to your DNS. I know a lot of people hate adding DNS records.
Yeah.
But it should be pretty quick and painless once you can do that. And then it just populates with all the data starting from that point. So, highly recommend everyone go do that if you haven't yet and keep an eye on it. at least once a week, ideally every day. If you know, if email marketing is a crucial part to your business, mm-hmm. it's really good to have an eye on this.
Yeah, definitely. And if you find yourself, if you're a ConvertKit customer and find yourself in a situation where you just are struggling to figure out why, you know, if you can't connect the dots as to like where something's going wrong, maybe you've seen your domain reputation drop and you're not really sure why, feel free to reach out to our support team and we'll get you to the right place. Also, one thing that I wanted to mention, because I feel like sometimes it's hard to trust tools like this, but when you make improvements, I have typically seen the graph change pretty quickly. So when customers start using the best practices we recommend, when they make some changes, it doesn't take a really long time to see your domain reputation go from bad to increase from medium back to high oftentimes. So just know that if you're feeling discouraged, keep looking at Google Postmaster tools, make those changes that you know are being recommended, and it's very likely that you'll see a pretty quick increase in your reputation.
Yes, love that advice. Alrighty, thank you all so much for listening. I hope you all have high domain reputations at Google, and we will be back next week diving even more into how to manage your own sender reputation.
Fun. I'll see you next week.
Yep. Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening to Deliverability Defined.
Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast wherever you're listening. And if you have time, please leave us a review.
You can find a resource guide for today's show at convertkit.com/deliverability, where we outline all of the information you need to know from today's episode.
If you have a question or topic you want us to cover, let us know within the ConvertKit community or at convertkit.com/deliverability.
We'll see you next week.